Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The standoff at an Oregon wildlife refuge is officially over. Surrounded by FBI agents and armored vehicles, the final four occupiers have now surrendered. The individuals, the last holdouts from a larger group that first seized control of the refuge nearly 6 weeks ago, demanding the government turn over the land to locals and release two ranchers imprisoned for setting fires. At a news conference today, Harney County Judge Stephen Gratzty said the group acted outside the law.
Armed occupation of federal property is a crime and is not a peaceful protest. And the illegal taking of federal property is a matter rightly dealt with by the FBI.
Three of the occupiers were arrested early today. The last individual, 27-year-old David Fry, gave himself up a short time later. All face felony charges of conspiracy to keep federal workers from doing their duties through force or intimidation. A 20-year-old Eagan, Minnesota man could become the second person to enter the country's only jihadi rehabilitation program. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston explains his decision to plead guilty to charges he intended to join ISIS paves the way for his inclusion in the program.
The judge presiding over a number of ISIS cases in Minneapolis had made clear that before any defendant could hope to enroll in a rehab program, he or she had to plead guilty first. Abdirizak Mohammed Warsami did that. He admitted that he encouraged a group of his friends to travel to Syria to join ISIS. Three sources familiar with the case tell NPR that now Warsami is likely to join the only other man in the city's de-radicalization program. Until recently, U.S. counterterrorism officials had seen building a curriculum to defuse extremist ideology as unnecessary. But ISIS's recruitment has been so effective, the U.S. government is reconsidering. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
After splitting the first two voting contests in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders meet tonight in another face-off. Candidates will take the debate stage this evening in Wisconsin. Stock prices fall for the fourth day in a row today because of worries about the slumping global economy. NPR's Jim Zaroli has more.
Stocks in the U.S. were down sharply throughout much of the day, but they recovered as the session wore on, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished down by just 1.6%. While Fed Chair Janet Yellen told a congressional committee she remains confident about growth, she also said the global financial pressures pose risks to the U.S. economy. Several countries have now lowered their interest rates so much they're in negative territory, and many investors are worried about the impact that will have on the financial sector, so bank stocks fell. Meanwhile, the price of a barrel of oil fell to its lowest level since May 2003. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
Checking the final numbers on Wall Street, the Dow dropped 254 points. The S&P 500 fell 22 points today. You're listening to NPR. Morgan Stanley will pay more than $3 billion to settle charges that it misled investors. As NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, the amount represents an increase from what the bank previously said it would agree to pay.
The settlement will resolve civil charges brought by the Justice Department. As part of the deal, Morgan Stanley admitted it withheld information from investors about low-quality mortgages it packaged into bonds, thus masking their risks. Last year, Morgan Stanley said it had agreed to pay $2.6 billion, but the final terms now include a program to help struggling homeowners. For instance, New York State alone will receive more than $500 million, the majority of which will go to support local housing programs. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Einstein predicted a century ago there could be ripples in the fabric of space and time, but no one had ever proved it till now. Researchers using a sensitive $1 billion-plus instrument say they've been able to detect one such wave from the distant crash of two black holes, which they say sounds like this. The announcement is electrifying the world of physics and astronomy. David Wright is a physicist at Caltech and says they used a laser interferometer gravitational wave observatory to measure the waves.
The effect that we're trying to measure from these violent, you know, these big black holes colliding each other at half the speed of light, all right, is so tiny that it takes something like LIGO to measure it. We are trying to measure things basically at 1/1000th the diameter of a proton.
One theorist compared it to when Galileo took up a telescope and observed the planets for the first time ever. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.